I'm going to talk today about how we decided to strategically prioritize where we go with our mobile services. We have a number of members on our team who worked on this project that are listed there, and I want to thank them, too, for their contributions. I have no relationships to disclose today. So what I hope that you walk away after this session is I hope you will be able to explain some of the indicators that we found useful in prioritizing our service requests and how, by doing this process, how we believe we increased access to services in the St. Louis region. So first, let me tell you a little bit about our program. I work for St. Louis Children's Hospital, and we have a mobile pediatric program we call Healthy Kids Express. And Healthy Kids Express actually consists of three mobile units. They're buses, really, 36 to 40 feet long, little clinic space in the front, a little bit of clinic space in the back. In the middle, we have a little restroom and a little tech space. So it really is a clinic on wheels. One of our buses is used for asthma care. So we go to about 12 to 15 schools and enroll up to about 700 children a year in our asthma program. And that one bus will go to those same schools over and over again and work on controlling the asthma of the children enrolled in the program. Our second bus is a dental bus, and we have a full-time dentist, and we do full restorative care on that bus, including extractions and root canals and fillings and x-rays. And we serve probably, I think we saw about 1,600 children on our dental bus last year. There's a terrible shortage of Medicaid dental providers for children in St. Louis, as I'm sure is the case in many cities, but that's our effort to try to begin to meet that need. And then our third bus is what we're going to mostly talk about today, and our third bus is used for the catch-all phrase of screenings. And we do vision and hearing screenings out of that bus. We do height, weight, blood pressure. We also calculate BMI. We do lead testing and anemia testing. We also do scoliosis screenings. And all those things together, we fall in that category of screenings. Healthy Kids Express was started back in 1999, and it was first funded as a result of Head Start centers in St. Louis were closing their doors because they could not meet the federal screening requirements. So Head Starts are required to do vision and hearing screenings and immunizations and those kind of things. And they had begun to close their doors in St. Louis. And so there was a community movement to try to stop that, and that was where we got our first donations to purchase our first mobile unit. And in fact, all of our programming at St. Louis Children's Hospital out in the community is funded by donors and grants, 100%. So we are not funded at all by hospital operational dollars in any way. The Healthy Kids Express screening program, we actually saw over 25,000 children last year and provided well over 100,000 screens if you counted each one of those services separately. We serve children in four counties in both Missouri and Illinois. So for those of you who brush up on your geography, St. Louis is actually positioned right at the border of Illinois. We're just separated by the Mississippi River. And so on the other side of the river is Illinois, and in Missouri we serve as well. We generally go about a 50-mile radius from the hospital in all directions, and so that does include Illinois. We're somewhat limited on some of our services in Illinois because of the licensing requirements, and some of our providers don't have the licenses that we need, but we can provide most of our services in Illinois as well. And the problem for us came is that I think we were a victim of our own success. When we started in 1999, we had the one bus, and we could kind of whoever called us, we would go, and we had the luxury of just sort of going, you know, anybody who called us, we had the capacity to serve. As the economy has changed, as school districts' resources have been restricted, our requests for services have literally quadrupled in the last 5 years, and we can now only fulfill about one in every four or five requests that we get. So we were in a pickle. We were in a pickle. We knew that there were partners that we had historically been providing services to. We also had those squeaky wheels who, you know, they would scream and call board members and do whatever they needed to do to get our services. And we knew we had a responsibility to our donors who came from our community, but we knew we had a responsibility to make sure we were serving the truly neediest children in St. Louis. And there are many. But we wanted to make sure we were targeting the truly neediest sections of St. Louis. So we needed some sort of systematic method to prioritize our service requests, something that could be unbiased to the greatest extent, that was not left to, you know, to us to just pick. And so we started with the literature, and we identified some key indicators of healthcare need. And the first of those indicators was socioeconomic status. And, it's common sense, really, when you think about it. Of course, the lower your socioeconomic status, the greater the chance that you're going to have healthcare needs that are unmet. The second indicator that the literature identified was access to services. So, again, this is common sense. If you don't have insurance, you're probably not going to have as easy access to care. If there are not Medicaid providers near you, maybe you have insurance, but the providers aren't near you, again, less likely to receive health care. And sometimes it's just transportation to that health care as well. Maybe you don't have that transportation. So we thought maybe, because these were the things we found in the literature, we thought maybe this could begin to help us frame how we prioritize these service requests. And so so this is what we did. We looked at these indicators, and we said, okay, how could we, what numbers are available out there for us to determine socioeconomic status of our children? And one thing we knew we could look at was the percent of children who are receiving free and reduced school lunches. So our program is school-based. Most of the sites we go to are schools during the school year. And so we thought that might begin to help us distinguish between the neediest schools, is looking at those percentages. We also looked at the percent of children in poverty. So we looked at poverty rates in the zip codes where our children came from. So we thought with those two indicators combined, that would give us a better sense of the socioeconomic status of the children in a particular at a particular site. And then we looked at access to healthcare. That was the other indicator that we found in the literature. So pulled numbers on the insurance status of the children in a particular area. So a school nurse could tell us if her students were Medicaid eligible or enrolled in Medicaid or maybe uninsured, so we could get some numbers around that. We also looked at the distance from federally qualified health centers. So we do have a good number of community health centers in St. Louis, and again, the logic was the closer physically you are to a health center, perhaps the more likely you were to receive health care from that health center. So our thought being that, you know, there are some rural areas around St. Louis as well. You don't have to drive very far to start seeing cornfields and cows. So children in those rural areas, our thought was, less likely to receive access to health care. And then we also looked at the nurse-to-child ratio in the school that was requesting the services. So many public schools have school nurses, but some school nurses are responsible for 1,000 children. Some charter schools, which we have a good charter school culture in St. Louis, as well as private school culture, we have a number of those kinds of schools, and many of them do not have any kind of school nurse or any kind of health technician of any kind in the school. So again, that was that access question. We thought if you have a school nurse, you might be a little more likely to get some of those basic preventative screenings. School nurses are tremendously busy, so even if there is a school nurse, that doesn't mean that they're getting those screenings, but we thought it might mean they're a little more likely. So we knew we could pull these numbers and get these numbers from various sources, and that we had We actually put this into an online application for our schools in St. Louis. And we had the schools and the sites actually provide it for us so that we didn't have to do a lot of the background research. So we tend to book our services. Again, we're school-based, so we tend to book and schedule our services based on a school year. And so in, I think it was March of this year, we opened up this online application. We notified all the school districts we normally serve. We notified all the folks we have turned down in the past. And we said, you got to go online and provide us information on this online application. We asked them to provide the zip code of the children that come to their organization. Not necessarily the zip code where the school sits, because their children could come from many schools, zip codes around the school. So we asked them to do that research and find the zip codes of where the children come from. They had to pick what services. A lot of times they just say, we want it all. We made them pick. And they had to report to us the number of nurses at their site based on and the number of children there. So we pulled all that information together. We put it into an algorithm and weighted the different factors according to what we felt was of most importance. And we actually involved our community advisory board in this process as well, because we knew this was going to result in sites who we have served for years, maybe, who were no longer going to get services, and they were going to be mad. And so our community advisory board was going to have to be the ones to help us sort of make our case in the community and help defend this decision. But again, we wanted it to be not based on biased opinions or the squeaky wheel. We wanted it to be based on data. And so we looked at all the applications, and they all got a score. And then we added one other little factor, which was the site staff. And you would think that we go to schools and we are providing a service, and you would think they would be grateful to see us. But you know what? They weren't always. And what would happen in St. Louis, at least, this happens, we would have, oftentimes what would happen is the head school nurse for the whole district would make the application or apply for the service and ask for the service for their entire district, and wouldn't necessarily get that message to the individual nurses at the schools or to the principals at those schools. And we would show up, and they didn't want us there. And we would try to muddle our way through the day, and they were unhappy that we were pulling the children out of the classroom, and we needed space, and oh my goodness, they had to move a car because our big bus wouldn't fit in the parking lot, and there were just many times where those schools didn't want us there. And so we thought, you know, if a site doesn't want us, and there's another site that's just down the street that has just the highest score, then we were going to give preference to those sites that we had worked with whose staff was welcoming, but also with staff that were accountable. So one of the things that we believe distinguish our programs from others is that the follow-up piece is very important to us. We have a staff with social workers, and we don't just do the screenings and send home a piece of paper and say, you know, good luck with that failed eye exam or good luck with that hearing impairment. We actually do the follow-up, and we need the school to help us with that. It's one of the reasons why we go to schools, because the families have an attachment there, and we believe that it helps us to keep track of those families. So if a school nurse was not particularly welcoming to us on the day we were there, and then did not help us with the follow-up, again, there were plenty of sites asking for our services, children just as needy, so that did get a little bit of weight on our side. And that, you know, we kind of debated that, because we thought, well, you know, who's really being punished are the children of that site. But at the end of the day, we were less efficient and less effective at those schools where the school nurse was not welcoming, and we kind of had to do a, you know, cost-benefit analysis. If we could be at this site where the school nurse was helpful and we were able to be very efficient and maybe see more kids and get better follow-up, or we go over here where we can't see as many children because they're not helping us get those kids out of class or whatever, To us, it was a better use of our dollars, and we were still seeing needy children. It's not like we chose, you know, some school over in an affluent city in exchange. They're all very needy. So this was another one of those things that we vetted through our community advisory board to make sure we were on the right track and that we were doing the right thing. And they agreed. So at the end of our application process, we chose 96 sites, which is fewer sites and then we would normally serve, but some of the sites will get multiple visits. And what happened was we didn't just say, sorry, you know, we've served you for 10 years and now you're off our list. Have a good life. No, we didn't do that. While we did say, you know, I'm sorry we can't serve you anymore, but we did do the legwork to provide a list of resources for them. And what we think happened is that it actually opened up some resources that were right in their backyard that they had never tried to leverage because we were always there. And so some of the resources that we found for our schools, for example, in St. Louis is the Logan School of Chiropractic, and they are now going to be servicing some of our sites and providing scoliosis screenings. We have a special school district, which is the administrative home for all of our special needs children in our school system, and they have stepped up to do hearing screenings in many of the schools where we were. And then those community health centers, actually, right in the backyards of these schools, and they had never tried to leverage some of those resources. And federally qualified health centers have, you know, they would say they could always use more money, but they do have resources, and they do aim to, you know, they're focused on primary care. So we were able to, you know, sort of hook up some of our school districts with their local community health centers for vision and hearing screenings. So with these partners stepping in, that freed us up to go to potentially new sites that had never received any kind of services from anywhere before, and therefore removing barriers for those children to receive some of our care. So this is a map. You can see the red dots is where our bus goes. This is from last year. The red dots is where our bus went, and the green dots are those community health centers and health departments where people could access care. I don't know if you can see, there's a kind of a squiggly line that kind of goes right down the middle. That's the river, and on the west side of the river is Illinois, and the east side is St. Louis. So you can see we're pretty heavily concentrated in the center, which is the city of St. Louis. That's the urban core. And then North St. Louis is also a very underserved area of St. Louis. More affluent is to the straight west, and south is more kind of middle class, but also more services there. In Illinois, very underserved, poor area. East St. Louis, Illinois is right across the river. But you can see there's a lot of health centers there too. And so once we went through our prioritization, take a look there where this is last year, and now this is this year after we went through our prioritization process. And I'll do that again so you can kind of take a look, okay? That's last year and this year. Okay, so you can see we actually pulled out of East St. Louis, Illinois, because that's where a lot of those community health centers were, and they were able to step up and provide a lot of the services we had formerly provided there. That's not to say East St. Louis, Illinois is not a needy community. It absolutely is. But there are resources there. And there were other needy schools that had never received anything, and that freed us up to be able to provide services in those other areas. So we were, you know, the folks in East St. Louis, of course, were unhappy at first, but in the end, they are still able to provide the services, to get the services that they needed from other partners in the community who stepped up to the plate. So this is just us without the community health centers. You can see the span of where we go. And so those are my references and my contact information. If later on you think of any questions. Thank you.